Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to yet another episode of the Philly Mick and Hump Show. I am your host, the Philly Mick.
And I'm Philly Hump.
Welcome, welcome. Been a few weeks, but we're back. We went on a little spring vacation, and now we're pumped up. We've got our rest in. We're ready to talk some birds. Ready to discuss some of the woes of the Phillies, the upcoming drafts for the Sixers and for the Flyers. And then, of course, we have our own little special announcement here that we'll make about halfway through the show, and then we'll discuss a little bit of that. So so we want to thank everyone for the patience, but you know where to reach us, Facebook, Twitter, email, call into the show. 347-989-0689, I think it is. That's probably how that is.
No, 0966 or something like that, yeah.
Well, you hold on. We'll get that number in a second. Sorry, we were doing a little pre-show stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, we were close.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was it again? 347-989-0699?
Yes.
There you go. We're already on top of the ball today.
All right. I can't imagine how this episode could go bad.
This is what happens when we don't do the show on the regular. We get a little rusty, so our apologies. But we'll get into that. So if you want to join in, you can always hit us up in any one of those avenues, call in, or just send us a message, and we'll read your messages on air. So let's get into a little bit of Eagles. We had a couple of weeks after the draft. We've had time to digest what had happened. About a little bit over a month now since the draft. OTAs are going on right now. What's your overall level of positivity running into this season as it stands right now? Now, obviously, there's still plenty of time left. There's still training camp, preseason. I believe there's about 9,900 days left until the start of the season. So,
yeah.
Yes, it's right on that edge. So,
yeah,
I'd say probably
the same thing that I've said for a while. It's going to all hinge on if Sam Bradford's healthy and if he can play well. This team's going to go where their quarterback takes them, and just like any team in the NFL, I think, you look around the league at some of the best quarterbacks, and you're also going to find some of the most successful teams.
More than likely, you're right, absolutely.
The Patriots, Tom Brady, the Seahawks, Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your two Super Bowl teams, and, they would definitely be two of the top 10 quarterbacks you'd find on anybody's list.
Absolutely. Packers with Aaron Rodgers. Broncos
with
Peyton Manning. Yeah, they're all top teams.
Andrew
Luck of the Colts, exactly. So you're sensing a pattern here, and we're hoping that with a healthy Bradford, we can at least be in the talk there. Hopefully that will be something that we can say towards the end of the season here, is that, we have one of those quarterbacks that will be talked about now. Then again, we only have 1 year of Bradford, and we'll see, obviously, depending on how he plays. But you'll look at it, Cam Newton. Just got himself $100 million contract. Now, Cam Newton's been somewhat successful, a halfway decent Panthers team to the playoffs last year or the year before. And, doesn't really have much offensive weapons as is now. Obviously, Benjamin's a nice young red receiver there, but the defense is hit or miss each year. It seems like either 1 year they're great, next year they're crappy. But I wouldn't say he's been a stud quarterback by any means, but he's clearly the face of that franchise there. And he just got himself $100 million, so,
finding is that guys, whether or not they are overly successful, if they show any hint of possibly being successful. Teams are locking them in because you don't want to be that team without a franchise quarterback. Because
absolutely.
If you don't have
look at,
you're looking for one.
Yeah, look at the perfect example of Houston. Since they've been in the league, you know, they really have not had a true, you know, star quarterback. They've been bouncing quarterback to quarterback. They think they got them. They don't have them. They draft somebody. It doesn't work out. You know, they've had a lot of ups and downs when it comes to the quarterback position. And they have been building a very impressive defense. And you know what? Unfortunately, without any quarterback, that defense is going to be sitting at home during playoffs because they don't have an offense.
I think gone are the days of the team that is defensively built and has a quarterback that just doesn't kill you. I think those days are gone. The days of the Neil O'Donnells, the Trent Dilfers, you know, the Brad Johnsons, just doing enough to get you, like, I don't think those kind of quarterbacks are going to last. Andy Dalton now is probably the perfect example of that Trent Dilfer type. That guy, he doesn't kill you, but he's not going to take over a game. And the Bengals are kind of stuck in limbo. They're stuck right there in the middle because, again, they understand if they get rid of Andy Dalton and they're looking for a quarterback, they're in rebuild mode.
Yeah, absolutely. And, they've had a pretty decent defense over the last couple of years. They have a top wide receiver in A.J. Green. You know, they have two really good young running backs right now. Things are looking up. And, again, they might be the closest thing that we have to the, you know, overall team that doesn't have the star quarterback that actually may, you know, make the playoffs and do some things, but won't ever get over that hump unless Andy Dalton starts performing at a higher level. And, you know, he's been a pretty successful quarterback.
He does okay, but when it comes down to getting to that next level, he's not going to get there. He's never won a playoff game. I mean, unless he takes some giant step forward. You know, Andy Dalton's going to be one of those guys who kind of hangs around in the league a while. But he hasn't won a playoff game yet. So you get to wonder what they have in Cincinnati, but they're scared to move on from him because they don't want to go back to what they were before Andy Dalton.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. You could have a mediocre quarterback, maybe be stuck in a limbo, but, you know, at least they're probably saying every day, hey, you know, at least we're not Houston. At least we're not, the Jets. At least we're not Buffalo, you know.
Your favorite team
with a crappy
in
quarterback.
It reminds me of teams in the NBA who, you know, they're not quite at that next level, at like the top-tier level, and so they get stuck in that limbo stage where they're too good to get a top-tier pick and they're too bad to be able to take that next step to win a championship, and they're so stricken with salary that they can't make that jump. Teams aren't going to let a good quarterback hit free agency, and so without getting a top pick, the Cincinnati Bengals are stuck with Andy Dalton.
Yeah. No, again, I think unless you're going to hit the quarterback free agent lottery like the Saints did, where coming off of an injury, a lot of unknown, you know, never truly realized his full potential. Perhaps
and who does
maybe
that maybe
of the
sound
offense.
Like?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, that sounds exactly
that's
like
what we're hoping
in.
For.
We're
yeah.
obviously hoping
we're
for
hoping
the Drew Brees
for.
Experience here in Philly. Yeah, we're hoping that Sam Bradford, who's had a decent career, granted injuries plagued it, but when he was healthy, looks intelligent, looks like he has the skills, but again, never really got the full chance because of those injuries. Now, obviously, Drew Brees was a little less injury-prone, really only coming off of the one major injury, excuse me, and, you know, there was a lot of uncertainty in San Diego, and they had, you know, Phillip Rivers, and they still had a pretty decent team with Gates and, you know, with LT and, you know, the defense was pretty decent then, so they could afford to move on like that. But, you know, a lot of teams won't even take that chance to say, well, hey, we may not have the best quarterback, but at least he's not, you know, bottom five, bottom 10. and we can live with
right.
that. And hope, and we hope and pray that he takes the next step. Like Tannehill, perfect example. They gave him a lot of money, just like they gave a lot of, to Dalton. Not a stud quarterback by any means.
Yeah, in the hope that he takes the next step.
Exactly. That is the hope and, dreams of these teams that have stuck in this limbo situation, and that's where we're at. We don't know what we got yet. Could be awesome. Could be terrible. But we're going to find out, and we're all going to go through it together and see what happens. Now,
and I have a question.
I think that was... Oh, I have answers, maybe.
If we don't have a definitive answer, if Sam Bradford's not definitively the guy, how much longer do you think of a rope Chip Kelly has?
Well, and I think that's the scary thing right there, is say Sam Bradford gets hurt a little, but not, maybe not like, season ending, or
season
maybe,
end.
Say he misses, like 4-5 games.
Yeah, maybe pulls a hammy.
Doesn't blow up. Does enough to be successful. Maybe the Eagles sneak into the playoffs, then lose in the first round. And you're like, well, Sam Bradford didn't really do anything that great. But he didn't do anything that terrible. I don't know.
I think they re-sign Sam Bradford.
Absolutely.
Because, again, not wanting to get stuck in that limbo without a quarterback.
And that, to me, is scary.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is very scary. And I do not want the Eagles to be in that situation. But I don't think we're going to have a choice.
I think unless Sam Bradford is injury-prone again and, is unable to stay healthy, I think if he's healthy and even minutely productive, the Eagles not wanting to face that abyss of life without a real quarterback will extend Bradford with the, with the hopes that he just gets better next year or the year after. I think Bradford plays all 16 games. I think Bradford's probably extended because I think that would mean that they will make the playoffs. Even if that is just a first-round exit as a sixth seed in the playoffs,
Right. No, I agree. I think it's going to be very tough. And again, I hope it's either one or the other. Honestly, I hope it's either Bradford plays his face off, shows exactly what he can do, or he crumbles and falls and gets injured, and we know. Hey, you know what? That sucks. He's not our guy. Let's move on. And we know we can move on and take the next step to finding that quarterback. But if he's kind of hit or miss, does maybe just enough to keep himself in the loop and in a job, that's the worst case. That's the worst case scenario, flat out.
And then the debate rages on whether or not you want to have Sam Bradford long term. And I don't think the Eagles would position themselves to say, well, we didn't see that much, so we're going to part ways with him. I think the Eagles would say, well, he didn't stink up the joint, and we need a quarterback because God knows what we could get the next one.
Right.
And
exactly.
Unless the Eagles were to end up in a position where they could acquire a top pick. Now, again, they're not going to do that. If they weren't going to, sell out to go and get
Mariota.
They're not going to do that for, Christian Hackenberg next year or, whoever the next top-tier quarterback is in that group. And if there's a good enough quarterback to be taken in the first round, he's probably going to be projected in the top 10. Rarely do you see a quarterback who's given any kind of promise be projected to be middle of the end of the first round.
Yeah.
Now,
absolutely.
Maybe the one example might be like a Teddy Bridgewater who, and still, it was his rookie year. We don't know how much of that was just him catching lightning in a bottle last year. This year will be a bigger test for him if he can show the consistency over 16 games. But he might be one of the rare examples of somebody who taken at the end of the first round who's someone that you can really count on.
Sure. Absolutely. Now It's definitely gonna be interesting this year. That's for sure. And I think with all the uncertainty at the quarterback position, with the uncertainty of the wide receiver position, at the safety position. God only knows what's going on with the middle linebacker situation. You know, I still feel like overall the team has gotten better from last year in a lot of areas that they needed, and you factor in the, you know, the youth only getting better, and, you know, players like Fletcher Cox only getting better, and, you know, Matthews only getting better, and, the you know Lane Johnson only getting better. You know, with teams like Dallas and New York, I still feel like we're right there with Dallas. It could go either way, but I feel like we have the slight edge over Dallas for the division.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think with all the comings and goings of this past off season, I don't think Dallas has kept up with the Eagles. I think the Eagles may have. Maybe this is just some of my bias coming out, but I feel like the Eagles have moved ahead. And my reasoning being, Cowboys lose their running back, DeMarco Murray, and don't really replace him. And
not at all.
Don't give me that whole anybody could run behind that offensive line, because I completely disagree.
I personally think that line's horrendously overrated. And it's a great line. Do not get me wrong. But let's not go comparing them to
a very good offensive line. I think DeMarco Murray made them look a lot better than what they were.
Sure. Yeah, and that's the thing. Nobody ever talks about that. It's, the line. They made DeMarco. Well, maybe DeMarco made them a little, you know? Let's talk about that, you know? But nobody ever does. I just think, you know, you have a lot of young players in that line. You know, great, fantastic. I'm happy that you made great draft choices. But, you know, the simple fact of the matter is they are young. And young people make mistakes. And who knows what's possible that they could, you know, in the future mess up. It's very possible.
Hey,
but
Zach Martin had a great rookie year for them. And all pro, and now people are ready to put him up there as one of the best offensive linemen in the game. I'd say pump the brakes just a little bit. Let me see if he can do it again in another season.
I agree.
Sophomore slumps, they come into play. You know, guy maybe reading his press clippings a little much.
Yeah, when you have Joseph Randall and a forever hurt McFadden and Joseph Dunbar, you know, it's, I forget which one of these guys got arrested for stealing underwear or something. I think it was Randall.
Hey, wasn't it Dunbar?
Maybe
it was
Dunbar.
Randall?
I don't know. It's hard to keep track of Dallas Cowboys stupidity, but But yeah, it's you know, I feel like we're good. So, but if you want
and
to call
I heard
into
a report,
the show, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I heard a report that this morning, Darren McFadden, while making breakfast, I think stubbed his toe on his refrigerator, and I think he's going to be out for the remainder of training of the remainder of OTAs there. So, yeah. You know,
please tell me you're joking.
Just keep that, of course, I am.
Okay, thank you. Honestly, with someone like him, it's not really that far out.
I know. You had to stop and ask.
I was. I was like, is he trying to tell a joke? And then the more you talked, I was like, well, maybe.
I can
see
some details.
Yeah, you're really going a little too far with the details here. But, yeah, if you'd like to call into the show, phone number for the show is 347-989-0699. I was going to say, I was hoping a buddy of ours would be calling in today. I said he would, but, you know, he's probably what's out, just like a lot of people do. Don't be afraid to call in, people. It's not like you're actually calling real, not to really, it really makes us sound bad. But it's not like you're calling like on the radio for millions of people that are listening. You know, you're literally calling into a show there, you know, maybe 100 people total is going to listen to in the history of the world. You know, so let's put your big boy pants on. Give us a call and let's start talking sports. But like I said in the beginning of the show, about halfway through, I'd start talking about a major announcement that I wanted to make. So it's about that time. There's about 10 minutes left. So I figure, hey, let me make my announcement. But starting in the near future, hopefully within the next week, I have created a sports blog that myself will be running, and that the hump here will also be a major, a head contributor, and a department head of a brand new sports blog. It's going to be called Big Philly Style. It's going to be a sports and style blog for the Philadelphia fan. Basically, keeping everyone informed and looking good as a Philadelphia sports fan. So check us out. It's going to be www.bigphillystyle.weebly.com. But we'll certainly post that all over the place on our webs or on our Facebook, our Twitter. We'll also be unveiling a new Twitter handle for the blog, a Facebook account for the blog, and, of course, an email for the blog. So you can certainly reach reach us there and there. And we'll also be basically doing recap articles on the Big Philly Style blog about each one of our shows. So if you happen to miss a show, you don't have time to do the whole thing, well, we'll check out the blog. We'll write a quick recap for you. We'll have a link to the show if you want to check it out. Even if you have only a little bit to check it out, you can go ahead and do that as well. So I'm real excited about this. It's something that I've been thinking about for quite some time now, and I am certainly no web designer. That seems to be the biggest obstacle for me, is trying to get things to look the way that I like them to look. So you'll see once we officially go live, and we'll certainly report all that and have all that again on our Facebook, and unveil the links to all of our new social media outlets and as well. So Big Philly Style sports blog and of course the Philly Make It Hump show will go hand in hand. So you can get all your affiliate info from us too. And, of course, we'll be bringing on a couple other people that will be writing for us. We're going to have blogs, obviously, about all four of the major sports. Excuse me. That'll be certainly the major content of the blog. But also a little bit of a side note to give somebody, a little taste of something a little different. Not your normal sports blog that you see million and one websites that have them. This one will also be doing some dude things. It's obviously called Big Philly Style for a reason. I'm a big guy. Eric, you're a big guy in many ways. Not in height, but in girth. I got a little bit of both. But a lot of the fans that we know are guys just like us. Bigger guys, we love our sports, we love to do a lot of dude things, as they call it, and, we're going to have a little bit about some of those other dude activities, all the while kind of addressing some, issues that bigger guys can face when, trying to look good, Hey, just because we're all bigger guys doesn't mean we all can't look good, So, we'll be talking about that. We'll talk about building the perfect man cave, tricking out, your basement or your room with, Philly stuff, whether you go Eagles, Flyers, Phillies, whatever your passion is, to building a cornhole set, to tricking out your backyard, making it barbecue ready and friendly. Things that interest us that most dudes are into. So we'll be talking about all of that and a little bit more regarding the website in the next episode or two. And hopefully by the time we air the next episode, we'll be live on the website. So we can kind of simultaneously do that as well. So, but we got about 5 minutes left of live air time. Before we head into the podcast officially, if you want to call in, I'm telling you, don't be afraid. 347-989-0699. Interact with us. Let us know. I don't care if you call and tell us that we suck. At least we have a conversation.
Counts as a call.
with anyone. Yeah, right. you called counts. Yep. You know, any interaction we love. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad. Obviously, you know, let's keep it civil and you know, yeah. Smart. If you want to yell at us, that's fine. But yeah, let's not keep it stupid. So, but anyway, call in 347-989-0699. So moving on from the Philly or from the Eagles, we certainly like to spend most of our time talking about that, as that seems to be both of our number one passions. But you know, getting into a quick Phillies note, you know, it's funny that now that some of the Phillies that we thought were untradeable or never going to be out of here are having pretty decent seasons. Cole Hamels is playing very well. Ryan Howard's starting to swing the bat again. And it seems that we'll, you know, seems the Phillies organization has come out and said that they're going to be willing to eat a lot of that salary, which is going to help tremendously.
Thank goodness.
No, absolutely. So, you know, in saying that, we're hoping to get something back. At this point, we're not looking for the next, you know, Babe Ruth or anything as prospect-wise, but at least somebody that can help the system, whether it be in the farm system or in the big club, for hopefully years to come. I mean, we got we got a couple of nice young talented players. Nobody, no stars, nothing like that. But, you know, we got the young kid Nola in the system that's playing really well in Double A and should be up, bumped up to Triple any day now, honestly, because I have a feeling they're going to try and bring him up to the big club late. One, so it doesn't count as a full year.
Yeah, I would project that to be somewhere in September, you know, with the September
No, absolutely. Yeah, well, I forget what the deadline is to where it doesn't officially count for your first year, so you still have another year of
control.
Yeah, so, but yeah, they'll, obviously, I'm sure they have that date marked in their calendar. So I expect him to be up in the big with the big boys, you know, in a couple of months now, and you have Michael Franco who's playing pretty well. And then you know you have what's it, J.P. Crawford in the minors. He's doing amazing. You know, obviously, I don't think he'll be up in the big boys this year, but, you know, for the next year or the year after that, I could see him move it up. So, you know, things are definitely looking up as far as a couple of young players, but, you know, we still need to roll out, you know, a couple more variety in players or, and some more pitching, and our pitching isn't that great. You know, whatever happens to the... You know, oh, hey, our farm system pitching-wise is fantastic. You know, this, that, and the other. And now you hear these guys, and you're like, what? They haven't done anything. Like Jesse Biddle.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What
perfect example. Well, yeah, he was supposed to be the next, you know, great pitching ace for the Phillies or, you know, at least come up and be a solid two guy or, you know, he hasn't done anything.
Yeah, that's the real shame. You don't know what you're going to get out of him now. And now it almost seems like the Phillies are looking at if we get anything at all out of this guy, it's a bonus. I almost wonder, is he a guy that in the next year, maybe even 2 years, is he out of baseball? I mean, without even getting up to the big leagues?
It's hard to tell. So, well, we have about 60 seconds left. Want to thank everybody who's listening in right now. If you want to call in, we'll just go ahead and take your call. Bring it on into the podcast. Now it's time to do it. 347-989-0699. Go ahead. We have about 35 seconds left. But I want to thank everybody. Again, join us on Facebook. Join the group. Tweet us. The_Philly_Mick and the_Philly_Hump. Tweet at us there. Email the show at the Philly Mick and Hump Show at gmail.com. Make sure you check out Big Philly Style sports vlog coming near you. We got about 10 seconds, so thanks anybody else for anything that we're forgetting. So we'll take you into the podcast now. So for the Philly Mick.
I'm the Philly Home.
Thanks for listening, Philadelphia. See you in the podcast. All right, and we are officially on live. So that happened. We got our little Phillies talking along with our Eagles. Now, really, we got drafts coming up. You know, NBA.
Yeah.
We got Flyers, NHL. You know, things are looking pretty good for the Sixers. It looks like, you know, at worst, we'll get a player like D'Angelo Russell, who could be, you know, a fantastic guard for us years to come. Combine him with Embiid and with Noel and eventually with Saric. You know, that's a good, you know, four players right there. God only knows next year with you know, having the Lakers pick, the Heat's pick, and the, you know, the whatchamacallit, the Thunder's pick, you know, we could, again, have another four first-round picks. And, again, if we struggle again this year, getting ourselves into the top five, hopefully, you know, the Lakers do terrible and we can get, you know, another top 10 pick out of them. And same with the Heat, you know, it could be, you know, we could have a bunch of picks that we can really fill out our roster with. And, you know, again, you know, this summer with, you know, I could see us going after a max contract with, you know, some player that would be willing to switch teams, hopefully. And, really start the building. I would personally love to see them take another, you know, I don't want to call it like a year off, but.
Tank part three.
Yeah, tank part three. I don't think the city could handle it, unfortunately.
I think so now either.
You have to show your improvement and, you know, hope that, you know, again, I would hope that Philly's fan is smart enough to know that, you know, it's not like we're just going to go ahead and, oh, hey, we got everybody, now let's go win the championship. It's going to take a, you know, year or two to gel and play together and yada, yada, yada. So, you know, with the big three of Russell, Embiid, and Nerlens, you know, combine him with a couple other players and, you know, some young guys and maybe a free agent or two that's, you know, better than your average Sixer veteran that's been on this squad for a couple of years. You know, get rid of somebody like Jason Richardson. Yeah, so, you know, again, they could start trending upwards. And with the fact that they have so many first-round picks, you know, maybe they don't need to be in the top five with their own pick. Maybe they could be in the top 10 towards the end of 10 and have, you know, two or three top 10 picks and then use them and move up and get, you know, that last player that they're really looking for. Combine that with Saric coming in that year, now after next, and boom, you have your five. Hopefully you've signed a free agent or two in these off seasons, and you got yourself a set of seven or eight really good guys that you can really go to bat with and really make a run. So I don't see why not. I just think people are a little impatient, and naturally so. It's frustrating, but I think so far the plan's working.
Yeah, it's just, I know people want to see it take that next step, that progression. You know, we've had the 2 years of the tank. And I think after the first year, the plan wasn't to get the third pick and then tank again. The plan was to get the top pick and get Andrew Wiggins and, you know, to start to build your team that way. But they had to work with what they had. And I think they made the only decision they could make, which was take this player who was going to be hurt and tank again in the hopes of getting, again, a top pick. And this year, I think the third pick doesn't work against them as much as it did last year. Definitely, I mean, you know, I know a lot of people were I've heard that, maybe it would have been maybe this was the best move to get the third pick as opposed to one or two. I don't agree with that. I think if you get one of the top two picks, you could either trade out of it and get even more assets, you know, Or even take one of the big guys. I think regardless,
you got to take one of the bigs if you were in the top two. And should D'Angelo Russell fall, and you know Towns or Okafor fall to you, you have to take him over Moutier.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's no way you take Moutier at that pick. You're either taking D'Angelo Russell if the two bigs are gone,
or you're taking whatever bigs left.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think you'd be stupid to do anything other than that. And you know what? Who cares? You know what? Twin Towers? Pfft, forget that. Triple Towers.
And look, even if your end game plan is to then move that pick and still end up with Moutier, you can get more assets back as opposed to just passing on the big and taking Moutier.
Right, because you're going to be getting somebody that easily could have been number one. For whatever reason, wasn't the number one pick. The number two pick decided for some reason that they didn't want to go big and went small and got Russell. And then that leaves us right here with the potential, again, Embiid-like style, third overall, could have been number one, but this time the person's healthy.
Yeah, you actually get to use this guy year one. What a phenomenal concept. We actually get to play a rookie.
Yeah, right? I don't even know what we'd do with that.
Yeah.
Not even allowed?
I'm pretty sure the Sixers would be the, wait a minute, hold on, we took this guy in the draft, and we're actually going to see him this year? No, he sits out a year, right? Isn't that the whole, like, I think the Sixers are thinking of the old
the new rule?
The old college rule, you're not allowed to play freshmen.
Yeah, you're not allowed to play rookies. So hopefully the Sixers continue to build and do what they're supposed to do. But, you know, all in all, I think, I think everybody should be a little bit more patient and be happy where things are. Could be a lot worse, you know?
Yeah, I definitely think I always look at the groupings of the teams. I look at the Phillies and the Sixers. The Sixers have more of a clue on how they're going to do things than the Phillies. The Sixers seem like they know what they're doing. They've got a plan. The plan's been implemented, and I feel like it's taking the right path to where we'll ultimately be successful and bring a championship, who knows. But if they're going to go down, they're at least going to go down doing it their way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, well, I was going to say, we only have a few minutes left. I'm actually... I was going to say, don't want to get caught into the blog talk trap of, trying to figure out where, when, and where. But I was going to say, we'll pick this up next week. Hopefully, we'll be on the weekend. Hopefully, this Sunday, as we normally are, a Sunday show.
No, this Sunday, I'll be available. So,
well, yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll let you know. But obviously, keep your eye out for. The Philly Sports Blog, Big Philly Style, coming to a website near you, and hopefully that goes well, and everybody takes a look and lets us know how they like it. And again, it's supposed to be very interactive. So if something you like, let us know. Something you don't like, let us know. You want to change something, let us know. So either way, it should be exciting. We're getting everything ramped up, and like I said, working on considering my horrendous web design skills, it probably would be up by now, but if it wasn't for that. But yeah, so hopefully real soon. But thank you everybody for listening. Make sure you join the Facebook group, the Philly Mick and Hump Show on Facebook. Tweet us at @the_Philly_Mick or @the_Philly_Hump. And then obviously take a look at all of our social media outlets for the new blog. And, of course, you can always download the show on iTunes. Our whole library is on there. It's for free. Don't have to worry about it. We're not getting paid, so why should you have to pay for it? And then, of course, all of our shows are also available on Blog Talk Radio itself. So we want to thank you very much. We will see you next week. So for the Philly Mick,
I'm the Philly Hump.
Thanks for listening to Philadelphia.